Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. It's a pleasure to have you here. Sarah's here.
I'm here.
And Chris is here as well.
I am indeed.
The thrilling three are back in your ears, ladies and gentlemen. Now, currently in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, it's election season.
Again.
So soon after the last one.
We love them. We can't get enough of them.
Well, of course, the general election is taking place on the 12th of December. Now, don't worry if you're not from the United Kingdom. This we're not going to go into British politics because we've all got fatigue.
I can't handle it. I just can't deal with it if we do.
And we're not going to get too political in a sort of a partisan, a party partisan sort of way, if you will.
Well,
who knows? Stick around. But we've read plenty of column inches, of course. There's been TV debates. There was one very recently between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn. There's lots of campaigning and lots of various ways to persuade us who to vote for and so on and so forth. Now, it's tempting to think that none of these politicians are telling the truth and that your vote doesn't matter. And I'm sure there's people who are not in the UK, around the world, who have perhaps thought this or perhaps they haven't. So today's question is, have you ever considered not voting?
I have.
Really?
Have you? Yeah.
I would say...
Some people immediately think that's a crime, yeah. And other people might think,
I'm not saying
I don't bother.
I have voted.
Are just switched off right now, Chris.
I think I always have voted, but I have also considered not voting.
Well, that's the question. Okay. The question is the consideration.
Exactly. Yeah. So especially when I'm in a, you know, when you hear, oh, I'm in a, you know, Labour or Lib Dem or Conservative or have a stronghold.
Yes.
If you don't follow that party, then you just think, well, there's no point then, is there?
Yeah, because so obviously those outside the UK, the way it works is you vote for your local member of parliament who then represents that area in the government. And, of course, that MP will be of a particular party.
We call it first past the post, don't we?
Yeah.
And the American electorate is similar on, is it college votes?
You're starting off with some technical ones, Chris.
Yeah. But it's the general thing, isn't it, that you vote for somebody and then they represent your area in the Senate or the government?
Because in other countries it's proportional representation, which is... So with regards to, say, referendums, people often vote more in referendums, certainly in this country in recent events, because your vote does count. It directly counts. But in our electoral system, if you vote for a candidate from one party, whereas if the in an area where another party, they always get in, it's a safe seat.
You see it as a wasted vote.
It's an absolute shoo-in. So, yeah. You see it as a wasted vote. So that made you maybe not consider...
Yeah, I would definitely think, well, there's no point. Or you think, I'll do a protest vote.
How would you protest vote?
You
draw a cartoon willy.
Little spider on there.
No, you say that. So in a previous job when I was at HuffPost.
You drew a what?
I literally did a piece all about creative ways that people have spoilt their ballots in the past.
Then. Go on.
I mean, there were a lot of dicks drawn.
I'm sure.
And then some people... I think one person wrote all over it in Welsh and said, I want a Welsh polling card or something like that. I'm trying to remember what else. I'll dig it out and I'll share it after the episode. But people do get quite creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine they do.
You know, like we used to have the Monster Raving Loony Party, didn't we?
And I think spoke about them on a previous
podcast. That would be the sort of thing you go, I don't agree with any
of these. Always get some stupid candidate.
Yeah.
Like, who's obviously... Well, there's Lord Buckethead.
Yeah.
Well, you hear what happened with him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, he's back. Well, he's back as what now? Baron Binhead or something?
Something along those
Baron
lines.
Baron Binface.
Yeah.
There was some copy. It was very sad. There was a copyright argument.
Where is he standing?
Explain who Lord Buckethead is for those who don't know.
Oh. Now, I don't even know what... Was he in Nigel Farage's?
I can't remember. Lord Buckethead has been around for a while.
Yeah.
He puts himself up to become a Member of Parliament.
Yeah.
And he dresses up as some sort of intergalactic space lord, I think he describes himself as. Mm-hmm. And he has, as he suggests, a massive big black bucket on his head and he's dressed all in black.
And he goes on TV dressed like this as well, doesn't he?
It was Theresa May. So Theresa May was Prime Minister.
Yes.
So, and the beauty is, I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, but if you're outside the UK, you may not have done.
You probably think we sound absolutely crackers.
Exactly.
Which we
have a tendency to do that.
But the thing is, with our electoral system, Lord Buckethead's never going to get in power or anything like that. you know, other countries. I mean, look who becomes president and stuff like that. Yeah. But let's not get political. So you have your local elections, and mm-hmm. if you're prime minister, you still have to stand for member of parliament, yeah. of course. And Theresa May.
Not if you're the speaker of the house, though. Is that right?
Oh, that I think that may be the only one. But Theresa May, who was prime minister, she had to go up for local elections, and it's usually in a town hall or a church or something like that. And they go along the candidates, and there is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and other candidates of other parties, and Lord Buckethead at the end, who's sort of posing like he's Mr. Universe or something like Brilliant. That. But I think the guy who was Lord Buckethead, there was some sort of copyright.
There was a copyright argument, wasn't there?
With some comic or some film or something. Really? But that's exactly. actually... But he's so he's become Count Binface or something.
Yeah.
But there is a guy who's Lord Buckethead. He's a bit like the Phantom. It's never... He's always there. It's passed on to generations, I think. You know, but yes. Yeah, so vote for Lord Buckethead if you're not sure.
I don't know if he's standing in my area. I'm not saying I go against my area where I'm voting for, but I've living in London, you move a lot, so you move every other year usually. So therefore, you do move around constituencies. Mm. So yeah, in the past, I've just thought there's no point; they're going to get in anyway. But which I think is a lie, really, and that's what they want. The big man out there, he wants us to believe so that things don't change.
Well, and because as well as encouraging people to vote, there's a big thing about encouraging people not to vote and encouraging people to think, well, it's never going to change, so why should I bother? Like, that works to the advantage of the establishment or whatever you want to kind of call them. But people who just, they like the status quo and they don't want things to change. They love it if you don't turn out to vote.
Well, of course, Russell Brand, who famously or infamously said that he didn't vote. Now, this was a few years ago, and I think it was more of a throwaway comment. I don't want to get stuck into him too much because I think he's generally a force for good, whatever you may think of him, although you never know these days with people. But he said that he didn't vote, and people were particularly unhappy with him when he said that.
But he did then go on to, I don't know if it was the same election, he then went on to interview, I think... someone from each party, I think it was in the end.
He went, it was Miliband, wasn't it, Ed? Yeah. So he went around his house and did a little thing, and then he was like, vote for Ed Miliband. I don't agree with not voting anymore, and he did that. I mean, it didn't make any difference.
But I'm just saying that if you say that you don't vote or you're not interested, often people can be quite disgusted. However, if you look at turnout, I mean, sometimes for even a general election, you might not even get half of the eligible voters in the country.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah? You ever considered not voting?
No. I just think even if you go and you draw a dick on your election paper, whatever you want to do, I'm not encouraging it, but that's still a...
She is.
You're engaging with the process.
You're engaging with the process, and that will be recorded. Spoilt ballots are recorded. Mm. So, you know, if you really want, organise your spoilt ballot movement and your dissatisfaction with the system will be known. But if you just stay home, you have no voice whatsoever, even to say... this system is rubbish.
Do you then think someone that forfeits their right to complain even? Because it's like, you didn't even turn up.
So you can't
complain if you don't turn up.
I did that once. I was chatting politics to a few people. It was in a hostel somewhere far, far away. And this guy was being a bit of a silly sausage. And he was, but you know when someone's just talking, whatever you believe, whatever you voted for, whatever you know, he wasn't speaking rationally and wasn't sort of being respectful really to what other people were thinking. And I said to him, all right, then let's have it. Who did you vote for? And he went, oh, I didn't vote. And I was like, bingo. Yeah. Oh, really? Well, you can just remove yourself from this little conversation then, can't you? You silly sod.
There was an advert. It was quite a few years ago now. And it was, I think it was two people in a pub. And one says, I don't do politics. And then every time they try to say, oh, the cost of this pint's a bit. And then, nope, you don't do politics. Yeah, and everything they tried to say. And I remember, like, even now that's stuck. I think, it's quite an old advert.
I mean, I do understand that you can complain even if you didn't vote. I mean, if you don't vote, then suddenly you don't have opinions on how public services work. Or something.
You still matter.
Yeah, but I think it's the lack of engagement, as you say, Sarah.
Yeah.
And is that that's what would bother you then, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's people just not bothering to go.
Yeah, and also I think on the kind of that note, it's when people still get so angry. I remember someone on Facebook, I can't remember which general election was, saying like, I don't like people up on their high horse saying, you know, if you don't vote, you can't complain. I was like, I don't care about anything. I just want my teacher's salary raised. And I was like, do you see what you're saying here? Like, come on. Yeah. But I think kind of on a bit of a more serious, heavy note, we do have to remember that there are people, even today, who are dying for the right to vote.
Yeah.
Literally dying. You know, our ancestors fought and died for the right to vote. You know, women starved themselves and chained themselves to the gates of Parliament.
The suffragette movement, of course.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and, I mean, over 100 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's, I really think it's it would be offensive to them.
And it's funny, is that if you remove the right to vote, we'd all be out on the streets wanting to vote. And it's like, hang on.
But it's my right.
Yeah.
But, and this is the thing, people say, oh, well, you know when you bang on about people dying for it? Well, they died so that I had the choice. No, they didn't. They didn't. They were out there saying votes for women.
Yeah.
They weren't saying option to vote.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, that just doesn't, it doesn't really wash with me. And I think it's like, if you could stand face to face with one of those people and they, and you just said, you know, I don't really believe in the system. Well, they didn't believe in the system, so they fought to change it.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, that would be my question, though, isn't
truth
it?
Truth bomb.
You know, those who go. So I would probably subscribe to, but the system is rigged. The system is always rigged so the oligarchy stay within power. So, you know, what do
Here
you
we
do
go.
Then?
What's this conspiracy theory?
Is this a full-on conspiracy theory or is this like actual...
To be fair, it's not a new one if Chris is suggesting that the system's...
I'm never very imaginative with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You heard of Yanis Varoufakis?
Yeah, the Greek guy.
Yes, from Syriza.
Rides a motorbike.
So he talks a lot about...
I don't know why. I always remember that about
him.
Did
you say he rides a motorbike?
Rides a motorbike, yeah.
Oh, that's what he's known for.
Not being an economist, not being...
Economy and motorbiking. Sorry, Chris.
No, he talks a lot about... the oligarchy loving elections, and that it's an election is a fig leaf for power, that it hides everything.
Ooh.
And he dates it all back to, well, he talks a lot about in ancient Athens, where democracy was obviously birthed, and that there were two main adversaries. You have the aristocrats, who were against democracy. Then you have the democrats, who were in favor of a system where basically the government was made up of the poor, because, you know, they're usually the majority. And interestingly, the Democrats were against elections. So those,
despite their name?
Yeah, they were against elections because the oligarchy, those who are rich and educated, were obviously the better rhetoric of the time, and they would always get in because they could persuade you to vote their way. Well, so the system would never change. So it was always those who were highly educated and already powerful would know how to manipulate us into doing what they wanted. So actually, the Democrats preferred the system of the lottery. Like our jury system.
Oh, right. I was going to say, because I was thinking to myself, well, what else? Were the Democrats into military coups then?
No. So the idea would be a preferred mix of both elections. So you would put people, and there are certain times you need somebody with a military background to be your general. So they would have that sort of person in charge of there, or someone who's extremely good at finances in charge of the treasury. But they'd say ideally you would want a mix of the two, of a jury type system thing, and then it's represented at all of society.
So, as you say, like the jury system,
yeah.
What, so I could be prime minister or president, depending on...
Oh, no, please.
Can you imagine? Hang about.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine getting that down the post?
Prime like, Minister Speller.
That'd be brilliant.
Thanks, Chris.
Vote for Spellsy.
No, well, you wouldn't vote for me because it would be a lottery.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's how he got in.
So that's the thing about the system being rigged, is the concept behind it is that it's always going to go, you know, to maybe not one party, but a certain demographic of society, whilst the rest of us get left behind constantly.
Yeah, it's interesting because the great late comedian Bill Hicks in America once said, it doesn't matter who you vote for, the government always gets it.
Yeah, exactly.
and that kind of taps into what you're saying.
Yeah.
Although,
but the thing is not voting isn't going to change it either. So that's the kind of the dichotomy that we've got going on.
We've got to do something then.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it is...
Who's with me?
the barricades.
Yeah,
it's a jailbreak. Come on.
We want a lottery.
We do. We also need to have a more diverse range of people going for MP and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
I mean, I have no clue of how we would go about changing that.
That's a different issue.
It's making it more accessible. And and like you look at some of the... Because obviously in the past, MPs were... The rich ones, the landowners, the business owners, all that kind of thing. And we now do have people from working class backgrounds and a more racially diverse and all kinds of, improvements. But we need more.
Mm. Yeah. So you're saying that that's one of the reasons why people might not be engaging in voting?
Yeah. I think in some places you look at all the people standing up there, you know, who you can choose from, and they're all really the same. They've got different party badges on them, but they're all cut. They all, and none of them.
They sound the same.
Look or sound or have any idea what it's like to be you.
And I'm not saying I'm a fan of the person I'm going to mention, but I imagine that is why America has the president it does, because there's somebody who sounds different.
Sure.
So I'm not saying he is.
But see, I think something you've said there, when people say, well, they all look and sound the same. I mean, currently, if you take the three biggest parties in England, or even if you extend that to Britain, you include the Scottish National Party. I think they don't sound and look the same at the moment.
But I think, there are a lot of British people who'd say none of those people represent me.
Sure, no.
They don't sound like me. They don't look like me. Yeah. They don't know anything about what it's like to be me.
Yeah. Fine. But then I understand what you mean in some senses. But in other senses, that can be a helpful thought. That can be a dangerous thought, because then you get this whole kind of, well, what about me kind of idea.
Yeah.
And often that is when, that's when usually certain candidates who pursue certain agendas score points, because they talk about not caring for wider society, I suppose. They care about trying to hammer in on certain voters.
This is where I guess, I mean,
who are in certain sections of society,
go on.
Certain sections of society, certain demographics always vote. Younger people tend not to vote, and so on. And so they just hammer home to them those who are already maybe accumulated a bit of wealth and so on and so forth, and want to preserve what they have. And sometimes that can lead to kind of what I would personally consider, again, without sort of giving my hand away too much, unhelpful results and unhelpful agendas and policies and so on.
Yeah, no, I can completely see that. I think part of, I guess, kind of what I'm trying to say is it's making the pool to choose from more diverse. It's encouraging, it's making politics look
a bit more representative.
Yeah, and look like a thing that anyone could go into if they wanted to, rather than kind of it's all the same older white people who are all rich, or, you know, I know obviously that's not true across the board anymore, but I think it's trying to...
But you're talking about in the UK.
In the UK, yeah. It's encouraging a more diverse range of people to go for it.
Yeah, you need role models in certain areas and so on. But I mean, but people can easily forget that, say, take John Major, who was Prime Minister for a while, the Conservative Party, often seen as representing the rich and the middle classes and all. He was from very humble background. He was from very working class background, you see. So, I mean, I know people might think, it's a bit of a poor example, but it's an example nonetheless.
It's interesting to go back to what you were saying about, it tends to be older people who vote. I was talking to a friend last night, and he was saying that that actually, because it's a winter election, that could have a big bearing if it's freezing.
That's why they were arguing so much. There was the argument in the UK about should it be on the 9th of December or the 12th of December? I at first was like, why does it matter?
Because certain people won't go out if it's freezing or cold or raining too much.
No, I think that was to do with students returning home and all that.
Also, it's the further into the winter it goes.
But yeah, but also I think they're looking at demographics, because younger people tend to vote slightly differently to older people, sort of speaking. But with regards to people, going back to that idea, you should engage and spoil your ballot if you don't want to vote for anybody. I completely agree with you. I think that, draw some ridiculous picture or just go up yours.
I'm
going to
draw a picture of you on my ballot paper.
Yeah, because I know, please don't make it too obvious.
Marcus for Prez.
Or Prime, it would be in this country.
Sure, sorry.
Marcus Prime, is that like a Transformer?
or some sort of streaming service. I actually, this is, people might laugh at this, I genuinely enjoy going.
I love it.
Yeah, I feel like I've taken part in something that's much bigger than myself, which of course it is.
It feels like a real occasion. You go in and, although, do you know what I always worry about? Is, the ballot paper is often quite big.
Yeah.
And you get that weird stubby pencil to fill
it
in with.
Yeah.
Like from IKEA.
And But I always, like, for some reason, even the box is giant, I worry that I've crossed the wrong one. And I have to check it about five times before I fold it up.
You've got a bit of OCD.
Have I accidentally voted for a party that I hate? Yeah.
Do you, like, have to double check your front door when you lock it?
Oh, yeah.
That as well?
Literally all the time.
Yeah, it's funny because I tend to always know who I'm going to vote for.
Have you ever gone in there? I was going to say, have you ever gone in there not knowing and at the last moment gone?
No, I've because I, for my money, I think I do my research. But I mean, I tend to vote, usually in the same sort of way.
That would be another reason a lot of people don't vote, is they're just not sure. Yep. Like, a lot of people don't read manifestos.
Yep.
A lot of people won't be sure about what the policies actually mean.
Yep. Mm.
So they're a bit like, I actually don't know. So what's the point?
Well, do you know what? But I still go in and I still look at every single candidate before I tick the box.
Just so you know.
Just to,
because
just,
you see a mate. He's gone independent. You're like,
just
oh.
go see my own name.
Yeah.
Like, well, hold on a minute.
What's that in there? Well, in some countries around the world, I don't think it's in too many, there is an option on the ballot paper which says none of the above or words to that effect. I think in India they might have this. And maybe one or two kind of local election sort of things in Australia, maybe. Forgive me if that's wrong. But it does exist. And basically, as it suggests, you look at all the candidates and at the bottom you have the box, none of the above, which is the sort of the ultimate protest vote. It's kind of like, no, and that counts. That goes towards a potential, that goes to account. And if none of the above wins...
How does that work then? As in...
So if none of the above wins, if that gets the most votes, then it's different scenarios can play out depending on where you are and how they sort of function. But one of them is... Right, no, do your manifestos again.
Oh, so they have to go back, so there's another election?
Well, it depends on on which country and which outcomes and blah, blah, blah,
it doesn't
blah.
Just go to the second highest vote?
No. Oh. I don't think, I'm
pretty
sure.
They're just like, no, this has not been good enough.
Yeah.
It's not definitive enough.
Yeah, there are other sort of, what would be the word, sort of permutations or whatever in some places. Again, it's quite convoluted to go through every single one. In Serbia, I believe, I was reading this, that there was a party that called themselves the None of the Above Party.
Very nice.
And they got a seat.
Did they?
Yeah, they actually got a seat in their sort of, I don't know, their sort of House of Representatives.
It's almost like changing your Twitter handle, isn't it?
just to
trick people into doing stuff.
Yeah, they did. I mean, one seat out of about 250 or something.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Still, they're in there, But none of the above.
It reminds me of a scam I heard someone once do many, many, many years ago where they changed their name to, I don't know, like West Devon Housing Benefits or something. So then that way... When they worked for them, they got all the checks that would go out, and they collect them all and then put it into
their
bank.
Literally,
they legally
changed
their name so that whoever all these checks went into, that they would then put it
clever.
Into their bank account.
I mean, they obviously got caught in the
end.
Highly
legal, but yeah.
You lived in West Devon for a bit, didn't you?
I worked in the housing benefit office, I am loaded.
I wondered why your initials were WD.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you are. But in Britain... In the UK, there is a campaign to try and get none of the above on the ballot paper.
But does that not just do the same effect as spoiling the ballot
paper? Well, some people, a lot of people are for it, but there are arguments against it. Because I suppose, again, it depends on what that then triggers. Mm. Because you have to have a proper think about that. Because then if that starts triggering do more and so on, then in our system, you have all the seats picked apart from a few, and then you have to do it again, and it can...
And especially
sort of
given our current track record with sorting important decisions out... I'm not really sure I back
us. Throwing another spanner in the works.
Yeah.
Although I think ultimately I would like to see it though. I think I would, because I think that would try and engage. So people who don't want to vote, you can say to them, you've got an option now. You have a legitimate
Your
option.
Your voice will be heard that
sure
you think this isn't
do.
Good enough.
I mean, I think, let's say that even there was, more people voted for that option. Mm-hmm. I just think the people in power would, they wouldn't change the system, which is really annoying, because I can't remember, it wasn't that long ago, was it 10 years ago, we actually had a referendum on whether we changed our vote
in
the UK.
People forget
the
that.
The turnout was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, people didn't get it.
No
Again,
one knew
because
what it was about.
People, people in power wanted to keep us from knowing what this would actually mean. Actually, you saw from our referendum on the EU, that actually when people felt their vote counted, they turned up.
Yeah, they
and
did.
That's what it would have done. It was
meant, a really big turnout.
Yeah, it would have meant that if we'd have voted for changing system, we would have all felt we had more power, and I count my I am valued to this valuable to this country. My vote counts.
Yeah, I think in the Scottish independence referendum, I think it was over 80%.
That's incredible.
Was it?
I think it was just something like 85% or something turned out.
Yeah,
because it was a straight shootout. But I understand. I mean, I'm not a fan of referendums.
Please, no more referendums.
But I mean, they don't work in our system, really. But and you can't do a general election on a sort of referendum sort of basis, but when people think their vote's counting, but then I don't know, I'm getting sort of tangled up. But so Chris, you were saying about how the thing is rigged. I mean, you know, in Italy,
I was going to talk about Italy later, but
were you?
No, you go, because it's probably a different thing,
because obviously Berlusconi was in power for many, many years in Italy, a very controversial figure, former owner of AC Milan Football Club
and Bunga Bunga fan.
Allegedly,
yes.
Is that still, can we, I don't think we need to use the word allegedly anymore. It's just so blatantly
I don't
obvious.
Think he's going
to
bother us.
You're not talking about the little nightclub Bunga Bunga on
yes,
in South London, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just by Battersea
He's
Bridge.
A big fan of that. nice cock cocktails.
So. Indeed, careful. But what were you going to say about Italy? Or were you going to
just actually the of the Italians that I've known? They're incredibly politicized. They really understand politics, and I'm not sure they talk or they teach it more in schools because we don't get taught it in schools. That's another thing. They don't want us knowing because then we'll start to become powerful.
No, I do agree.
But actually, like all the Italians I'd speak to would be very like they knew. What they thought, they would understand.
And yet they still run the country in that way.
But,
I think that must be the hugely frustrating thing for them is that they're just like, they get it, but yet because of the people in play and at power.
But it does depend though, because in Argentina, for example, everybody has strong opinions politically. They're probably, generally speaking, more engaged, although there's probably sections of the population that aren't, those who live in poverty. And poverty in Argentina is nothing that we have in the UK, certainly, or I'd probably say in the Western world in general. But there are huge sections of that country that are very engaged politically because it's an absolute state of affairs. And they see it in a raw kind of way that when it doesn't go wrong... when it doesn't go correctly or things don't run as smoothly as they do in other countries, even though those other countries have problems, it really, really annoys people. I think they have the none of the above option in Argentina, and I think you legally have to vote in Argentina as well.
And that's good. How do you know that they're very engaged politically?
Having spent a lot of time there and one or two friends over
which brings me on to, we're always in, we're taught, isn't a Mark Twain quote, don't ever talk about politics or religion? Like, we even have something in the UK where people don't like to talk about these things. But I find it interesting, actually, that they're engaged.
And you're not supposed to ask people how they vote.
Exactly. I find it interesting that we even are quieting down there. Like, we bought into this other stuff. As we're in Argentina, you found out because you talked to people about it.
Well, they talked to me about it. Yeah. Like, they really wanted to...
interesting. Last year, my wife and I were travelling around America, and we... at one point, we were on a train for 38 hours. So we went from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way through to New Orleans.
Wow.
It was brilliant.
I'd love to do that.
And we had every meal, you'd sit at the dinner cart and have a table. And all the wonderful Americans we met, they lent in and they're like, can we talk to you about politics? And the reason was that they felt they couldn't talk to each other about it.
That's interesting.
So they were like, you're neutral, you're foreigners, but you get it.
You with your Make America Great Britain.
It was absolutely fascinating. They all had their own very different opinions, but it was really interesting. They felt they couldn't talk about it.
But I wonder if that's, you know, kind of we alluded to earlier, like it's polarizing, right?
Yeah.
And we've reached the point where we maybe can't talk civilly anymore. Like, you know, in this country, if you disagree with someone on Brexit, then all kinds of accusations are thrown. And in a way, this has just made me think of this as we were talking, that if someone said to you, no, I'm not going to vote, are we being helpful by having a go at them?
I don't think, this is, in a sense, we're dipping into the other pod, public shaming.
Yeah.
You're also been shaming something. I think at the moment in the UK, I think we're in a very strange period.
We are.
We're a very strange period. So actually, I don't think this last sort of couple of years or 3 years, whatever it's been, represents...
Feels longer, doesn't it?
It does feel a lot longer. It feels like 33 years. And I hope it doesn't set the tone for what is to come in the years to come. It may well do, but hopefully not. But I think with religion, that's still probably off limits for a lot of people, sadly. Because I think sometimes whether you're whichever faith or whatever side of the fence you fall down on, sometimes people can't be trusted to talk about it, or they can be a little bit forceful, Sarah, as you say, or try to shame the other person, whichever end of the spectrum you find yourself on. I think it's probably the same with politics as well. Although I think I find that my grandparents' generation, they wouldn't say who they really voted for. They might, like... husbands and wives might not even know each other. Whereas I think nowadays, I know who most of my friends vote for.
Yeah. I think that's something we need to get back, isn't it? Just the art of dialogue. We talked about it on one of the previous shows as well. Like, we need to be able to come together and disagree, but actually talk about it and
be
not
honest,
get so angry.
And open.
Like, and I think, Sarah, you were saying before on one of them about we're always
so
on the
angry.
Ceiling, aren't we?
Yeah.
Ready to go at people. But it's like, you don't need to. We could disagree.
And this conversation has made me think, 'cause, you know, I do get quite irritated when people say they don't vote. And so it does make me think, well, maybe if I, like, I currently don't know of anyone close to me who says they won't vote. But if they did, how would I tackle it now? And perhaps it's a, a bit wiser to try and be sort of on the encouraging side rather than the shaming side.
Would you be as physically aggressive as you have been in the past wars?
I would deck less people than I did in the last election.
Deck. That's a brilliant old word.
Great word.
I'm bringing it back.
Someone.
I saw someone the other day put their vote on eBay. They were like, well, I'm not bothered. So if someone's going to buy it off of me.
Entirely sure that's okay under election law, but sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll end on this note. If you don't vote, being registered to vote improves your credit rating. So
does
do yourself
it?
A favour.
There
you
go.
Do yourself a favour.
We should all vote.
Do yourself a favour. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We'd love it if you did. Of course, find us on Insta or Twitter at AQQA Pod. See what I did there?
Yeah. That was very good.
That's very generous.
You're a professional.
It's been a long day. That amused me.
Indeed. Well, there we are. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. We'll see you next week.